In a world where podcasts have taken off beyond belief, like spaceships into space, listeners are left in an ocean of oceany audio that goes into their ears like water through
a spigot.
Whoa, back up. Daniel, bro.
Yeah, Austin, what?
That sucked.
Oh, come on, you think you can do any better?
Actually. Okay.
Your daily dilemmas are double dose of humor. This is On the Horns.
Oh, dude, Austin, start us off with the dad joke.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, what?
You know what you call a flamingo from Chernobyl?
I have no idea.
No idea.
A flamingo!
That's pretty good.
Fake laugh.
That's pretty
Wait,
good.
Wait, Matthew, didn't you have a dad joke?
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, what was it again?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
No, my word.
Oh.
It was about monkeys.
Oh, what do you call two monkeys who share an Amazon account?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, that wasn't the original one, but what?
This one's good. I don't know.
Primates.
Oh, that's good. What do you get when somebody from Canada and somebody from Minnesota get married and have a kid?
I never heard that one before. I don't know why. It just hit me. I was like, that's what it is.
I've never heard it either. We came up with it at work the other day. I mean, I'm sure it was a thing before then, but that was the first time we had thought of it.
That's awesome. Well, hey, welcome. Go ahead, Austin. I'll do the welcome thing. And action. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us here for another episode of On the Horns. Apologies, our sincerest, greatest, most dutiful apologies for the inconsistencies in the past 2 or 3 weeks. We've just had everything against us recently.
It's been a rough stretch.
But we're back. We're back. Back in the saddle again. So that's where we're at. So what this means for you guys, though, is I did make a video on the horns a couple days ago announcing that we were going to be moving all of our episodes to come out every Monday now instead of every Friday for two reasons. Number one, it just fits the schedule a little better with the summer schedule. And second, now you can start your mornings, your Monday mornings, those awful Monday mornings, you can brighten your day with a little On the Horns. You know, you catching my drift, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you.
So that's coming your way. You should also be expecting a audio version of our live episode from last Friday. Should be up soon. And then I have been saying it over and over again, but I am going to post a separate version of the Behind the Horns episode. Mm-hmm. And right now, the episode 2 is somewhat kabobulating around in my brain right now. Once it hits paper, we're going to get that sucker recorded. So we're pretty excited. But anyways.
Indeed. So before we go too far, you're making all these dumb jokes.
Yeah.
And the flamingo one. That's another one we came up with at work the other day.
That's fantastic.
I don't know why, but we decided the other day at work that we were going to start, that we were just going to look up a bunch of flamingo jokes.
Yeah.
We literally looked up lists of flamingo jokes.
They're legitimate flamingo jokes.
Yeah.
Is there a whole website assigned to this?
I don't know. I just, like, looked it up, and I don't know. I found, like, joke websites that had lists of jokes about flamingos, but you know what a flamingo does for fun on the weekend?
What's that?
It plays flamingo!
Plays what? Oh, flamingo! That's so great!
Crickets.
You know what you call a flamingo in Australia?
What's that?
A flamingo!
My word! I don't even know why I didn't think of that. All right, hit us up.
You know what my favorite one though is?
What's that?
What do you call a dead flamingo?
Wait.
Flamingo?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I thought I'd get this one.
A Fleming stop.
Crickets?
I didn't quite get that one.
Nothing? Fleming stop.
A Fleming stop?
Not a Fleming go, but a
Fleming. Oh my gosh. Okay,
that was one of my favorites, and you people killed it for me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought it was about a dead flamingo, so I guess it already was killed. Whoa.
Wow, 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 wow. You know what? All this brings up. Okay, anyways, go ahead with whatever intelligent topics of conversation you might have.
Well, I will be honest with you. We are not going to have a very intelligent episode this time because, first and foremost, we didn't get many listener questions. And then second most, the majority of the stuff we're going to be talking about tonight is mostly from Yahoo Answers again. I've got some doozies lined up. I think it could be a lot of fun, especially since we got Matthew here again with us. But let's jump in from a question from one of our listeners. This comes from listener John Adams. He is a regular here at the show. We deeply appreciate John Space Adams. And he says, does salt water really take away bacteria from someone's urine when people pee in the water at the beach? Asking for a friend. Now, if I know the nature of John Adams' questions when he quote-unquote asks for a friend, I think we can almost guarantee this is more of a personal problem. Austin,
well, here's the thing. I have actually thought up an answer to this, okay?
Would you say have you done research, or is this just more like around in your brain?
No, this is more philosophical.
Okay.
I have not done research. I don't know if it's true that the salt water. But I do know that it's true that John Adams doesn't happen to live near any bodies of salt water.
And no, we don't stalk our listeners. It's just that we know John Adams.
And his nearest body of water is one of the Great Lakes, which I hate to inform you, John, is not salt water.
Maybe no luck there.
Yeah.
So whether or not the salt helps, you should probably quit peeing at the beach.
I think that's what it really comes down to. You know, someone, when they're asking a question, there's always this context that we don't know. You know, there's always something going on in the background. Why would he ask a question like this, you know? My thoughts are, does he go with someone who often confesses peeing in the water? Or does he himself pee in the water and he's a little embarrassed?
The real question here is, I think we're missing, is that I don't care if all the bacteria is gone in the urine, it's still urine, and I still don't want it around me.
Yeah, urine is urine.
That's right. I was thinking about that. Pee is pee, whether there's bacteria or not.
Whether Bear Grylls like, drinks pee or not, it does not make it nice to have around.
Doesn't make it less pee. Yeah. You can take all the bacteria you want out of it. It's still pee.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm really glad we figured that out.
Pee is pee. Scientific fact.
Mm-hmm.
Pee equals sign or greater than pee. No, I'm kidding.
Wait, P is always equal to or greater than P?
Exactly.
That's
how
very...
would it be greater than? Do you somehow add bacteria to the P?
In my thoughts, it probably is always worse than what you think it is. So, So how can we give John Adams an answer? Because we've gone from the philosophical. We've tried to answer the question.
But let us consult the Google machine.
Yeah, let's consult the internet gods. And Austin, are you doing that right now? Because I'm kind of too lazy to bend over and type in my keyboard.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
He's working on it. I can hear him frivolously typing, furiously.
Furiously would be good.
The bacteria.
Oh, thank you for...
Bacteria. Oh, that's Baxter, not bacteria.
Is there Baxter in pee?
Kill the bacteria.
Oh my goodness. What are you typing? Are you typing with your pinkies only?
No, I'm just misspelling everything.
Got you. Are you using your nose?
Well, okay. I type it in, and the first thing that comes up is quick natural relief for urinary tract infection.
Ah, poor John Adams. Now I see what's really going on.
Yeah. I'm finding nothing. I am finding nothing at all on what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. You know what, John Adams?
It's all about UTIs. Yeah. I'm just going to look up bacteria and pee real quick.
Why?
Urine. Oh. Well, salt water definitely doesn't kill the bacteria in urine.
Uh-oh, this is a problem.
Let me guess.
Because urine is normally sterile, which means that it contains no bacteria.
Oh, really? There is no... Oh, that answers your question.
I told you. Without bacteria, urine is still urine.
And this only reinforces the point that pee is pee, bacteria or not.
John Adams, if you were
that... A small number of bacteria may be found in the urine of many healthy people. This is usually considered to be harmless. However, a certain level of bacteria can mean that the bladder, urethra, or kidneys are infected.
Disgusting. Mm. Regardless, John Adams, if you were that kid who peed in the pool all through middle school and high school, you need to stop. It's a problem. It's not funny anymore.
When was it funny?
First and second grade.
Yeah, it was true. Everyone's like, oh my goodness! And yeah. Funny side story. So I used to go with my neighbor Sean back in middle school, and we would go to this public outside pool because we didn't have a pool. Our one neighbor did, but we kind of ended up hanging out with him just because he had a pool, and he kind of figured that out, and so he wasn't too happy. So anyways, we went to this public pool a lot, and one of the funny things that we used to do was there were these pine trees nearby. There was a deep end that you could dive in, which is surprising at a public pool. But we used to grab these pine cones that had not quite yet unfurled. So they were kind of like very smooth and long. And we used to dive in with a pine cone kind of hidden by our side. And we used to swim to the bottom. Because you could dive to the bottom and kind of swim underwater in a way. And if there's a lot of people around, you know, there's a lot of activity at once. So we would dive to the bottom, kind of let the pine cone go, and then swim away as fast as we could. Only once we convinced everybody that it was poop. And that was it.
On a related note, from now on, let the pine cone go will be my code word for I gotta poop.
No!
Hey, Daniel, I'll be back. I've got to let the pine cone go.
We're going to get the explicit tag on iTunes now because we're talking about our bowling movement.
Oh, bowl butter. Bowl butter.
So anyways, that's a fun side story. John Adams, once again, pee has no bacteria, so therefore you've been offending people this entire time.
And now we know for scientific fact that pee is pee.
Yep.
No matter if it has bacteria or not.
You guys ready for your next question?
Wait, no, hold on. There's one more thing I need to say.
Goodness, how much more do we have to talk about this? This is painful.
The one last thing that I need to say is that... Oh, whoa, what the heck? I don't know what just happened. The one thing I need to say is that John Adams' theory about pee, it's just 100%
wrong.
Oh, he's got the soundboard. I deleted mine. I
hadn't pulled it out in a couple episodes, so I thought, you know what?
It's been
whatever.
I'm just going to pull it out. But what I really want to communicate is that...
I like turtles.
Oh, my word.
I don't know why. I just, you know.
Well, hey, let's, with that in mind, let's move on to our next question. This one comes from Joe King. If you say his name regular, it's just Joe King. But anyway,
which I had to point out to you several episodes ago.
Yeah, you did. And okay,
before we go too far in this question, it says, "Hey, Daniel and Austin, I am feeling very left out."
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's just Joe King. I know you're a good-natured guy, man, but Matthew's like part of this gig, bro. Like, what's wrong with you?
That's true.
Yeah, we're deeply hurt.
I'll forgive you this one time. My heart is very big.
Yeah, Joe King, I do expect a full written apology sent to Matthew H. 1800 Second Amendment .gmail.hotmail.com. If you got that.
.gmail.hotmail.com.
We'll slash see. .net.
It sends it to Hotmail, then it sends it to Gmail, and then it comes to me, so that way nobody can track it.
But we will accept any and all written apologies. Anyways, moving on to his question. If oranges are called oranges, then why aren't lemons called yellows?
That's true. Yeah. That's a good point. I don't know. I'm gonna look up why a lemon is called a lemon. I'll bet you there's a good origin story behind the word lemon.
If all these poor listeners are gonna get is us Googling things the entire time.
This is literally what I do. I think, hey, where did this word come from? And then I look it up, and then I know. Well, you know what the word cul-de-sac means?
You told us this before, I think, didn't you?
That's true, yeah. It's French for bottom of the sack. Hey, remember that time we looked up gusset?
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah, we were working with some gussets, and we thought, what kind of word is this, and where did it come from? So we looked it up. Turns out, it comes from the French word gousset for armpit.
Oh, that's disgusting. I forgot about that. So the next time you're gusseting some rafters, you're basically just installing some nice armpits on your ceiling.
Well, you know, it's not that. It's because the French would put patches on their clothing, like at the knees and stuff. And those were called the goussets or goussies, however you say them. And one of the common places they had to patch was the armpit.
That makes sense, yeah.
Well,
anyways, the word lemon comes to us from the old French limon, which was derived from Arabic roots and served as a generic term for citrus fruit in general.
Oh,
well, that's pretty lame.
Well, what does Matthew got for us? Looks like he's got something here.
So lemons actually man-made. They don't grow in the wild naturally. It's a hybrid between a bitter orange and, oh.
What is that? A citron.
A citron. What is a citron? I need to look this up now.
Lemons aren't even real. That means we can call
lemons are a figment to our imagination.
They don't even touch reality. I would say, my friend Joe King, you can call them whatever you want. They're not even real. They're just fake. And half the time, people turn them into juice anyways, and we could just call it Yellowade. And so...
Yellowade? I don't like that. I don't like Yellowade.
Just sounds like the last thing we were talking about, doesn't it? So anyways, I think you should be able to call lemons yellows all you want. Because oranges are oranges, and yellows are yellows, and apples are apples. So call them whatever you want. That's my two cents to you, Joe King. No one's going to stop you.
Yeah, you call them yellows, you do it.
Mm-hmm. They're yellows.
And trust me, many people will take you very seriously. Right, guys? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I take them seriously. Oh, yeah.
I probably would.
Yeah, so I hope Joe King, that helps. Let's, I have something special here. This
but
question...
Joe King aside...
So I've actually got a question here from our good friend Brandon, who had sent us a voice message, golly, 3 weeks ago.
This is the last episode one.
Yeah, this comes from an episode that never took place in this world, but it did take place in another. Let me see here if I can actually find my... Good golly, I don't know if I can find the voice messages. Hey, there we go. Library. Let's see here. Voice messages. Yeah, this is on June 4th. So this was 16 days ago we got this. And we had recorded an episode and just completely lost it. And so here comes a voice message. I'm doing this kind of really poorly. I might try to change this in the editing later. But here is the question that comes from our good friend, Brandon. I'll try to be careful when I play this through the speaker. If it loads.
Hey guys, so love the show. Just started listening yesterday to the podcast at work, and today I finished and caught up to all your episodes, and I was disappointed to hear that nobody's done a voice question yet. So I'm like, hey, what the hey, I'll do a voice question. So my question is, if you could go back in time to when any famous product was created or slash invented and change its name, what product would that be and what name would you change it to? So, you know, if you go back and change John Deere to a different name, or, you know, ShamWow or something like that. So what product would you change its name and what would you change the name into? Love the show. Keep it up.
Oh,
did you hear that aside from you playing around with your soundboard, Austin?
Mm-mm.
Just goofing around over there.
Look, I accidentally hit a button.
Yeah.
It like sent me to an ad.
Accidentally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
So
why would I hit the button that sends me to an ad
purpose? Did that come through clear for you, Austin?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, so basically, yeah. Listeners, if that didn't come through clear, he's asking if you go back in time, change the name of any product you would like to whatever you want, what would it be, and so forth. Got any thoughts so far, guys?
I remember that we had a hard time with this one the first time.
Yeah.
Which I still do not have. I don't know. I remember that originally I said Bacon. I would change the name of Bacon because Bacon is not an interesting enough name to do justice to the greatness of Bacon.
Well, then what would you call it?
I see, but that's the other thing. I can't think of anything else more fitting.
Maybe you could just call it, like, Glory. No. Call it Beauty. That's what defines beauty, is Bacon.
Physical beauty in people is defined as how closely they resemble Bacon.
It sounds like the humanly worst sunburn.
Well, think about it. Get. They're hot. They are. They're smoking hot. Actually, I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. You're like Bacon. No, that's just weird. That's creepy now. Let me think here. What other product would I go back? I always wanted to change something that's like super normal in everyday life and give it some outrageous name. You know, like, could you just imagine, not to go back on the whole potty humor thing, but like renaming the toilet to something like really outrageous?
I would rename the toilet the sink.
Or I was thinking like the tilt-a-whirl.
Sorry, Gordon, but I gotta head off to the tilt-a-whirl to release the pine cone.
Oh my goodness.
Sounds like a real problem right there.
Tilt-a-whirl. I like the tilt-a-whirl. That is good.
What else?
I would change something really intimidating to something that's more lighthearted. And so, for example, instead of them pulling a gun on me, they pulled a pew-pew on me.
A pew-pew.
It would sound a lot less intimidating.
Oh my goodness, dude, I just got this new Glock pew-pew. It's amazing.
If you don't do what I say, I'm going to pull out my pew-pew.
Oh my word.
You couldn't keep a straight face.
I know.
The 10 commandments of safe pew-pew handling.
Oh my goodness, is that guy carrying a pew-pew? That's fantastic. I don't know what else to call. I mean, I was always thinking about how funny it'd be to change, you know, like knife to banana and banana to knife. You know? So it's like, yeah, dude, I just got this new Damascus steel banana. It's like fresh new edge in this banana, man. It's perfect.
Oh, so speaking of bananas.
Yeah.
Can you hear me actually with the yellow knife?
Yeah. I went to a shoot today that was put on by my old 4-H leader, mm-hmm. and he has a bunch of buddies. Like, there was fully automatic stuff going on there, tons of ARs.
Oh, like a shoot.
Yeah.
So you're using the pew-pews.
Yeah, suppressed tons pew-pews. Of pew-pews. Like, suppressed stuff. Like, it was super awesome. And one guy there had these two mags that he had painted. Like, two mags. One was for his AR, and another one was for, like, a 9mm he had. But they were painted green, or yellow and kind of faded to green on the end, and they had like a Chiquita sticker painted on them. And when amazing. I asked him about it, he said, I got so sick of uneducated people calling them banana clips that I decided to paint them like bananas.
That is amazing. Oh my word.
They were actually really awesome.
That's amazing.
That is fantastic. That man deserves a Nobel Prize.
Side note, talking about pew-pews, all of us are literally sitting at all of our offices with our handguns and other guns arrayed around us for some reason. I don't know what's up tonight.
I actually did a quick count before we started. I'm at 15. 15 in the room I am currently sitting in.
We only have two because we each have our concealed carries on us.
Only two. Very sad.
Yeah. But, yeah.
We should do an episode at the range one day.
I know, that'd be so cool. I think we should do a video episode at the range.
Mm. That would be fun.
Yeah.
I played a game today that we should do. Oh, that would actually make an excellent video. Oh, I think I got our next video episode challenge.
Dude, yes. Yes, please.
So at the shoot today, we played Gun Pig.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. Yes, I know.
On the table in front of us, we had an AR style 22, a CZ Scorpion 9mm, my Citadel M1 carbine pattern 9mm, an AR in 223, a bolt gun 223, a couple handguns, and we just had targets everywhere. Anyway, you had to call your shot, whatever position, target, and weapon you wanted to shoot, and then you had to make it, and everybody else had to make it. That could be our next video episode challenge.
That sounds awesome.
That we could whoop Daniel's butt at and, oh, yeah, you know, force him to do something strange. Mm-hmm. Like try to get a cardboard boat across the pond.
Which was totally done before.
Mm.
It's amazing. And I failed epically. Yeah.
You could have succeeded, too. That was the thing.
Legitimately, though, I mean, legitimately, we should totally do Gun Pig sometime and get it on video. This sounds awesome.
Yeah, that would be good.
We've got all the video recording stuff to do it. We got to do it. Guys, if you want us to do Gun Pig, let us know in the comments below, mm-hmm, which there are no comments below on podcast episodes, so let us know on Facebook. We're totally going to do Gun Pig as our next challenge. Let's move on to our next question. I think we answered whatever question we were answering. Yellows, oranges to yellow. Brandon's question in time.
This was products you would rename.
Products you rename. PPUs. Yeah, we've milked that cow.
So instead of
I got one more. I would rename the Big Mac to like to like the McGoat meat or something like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
The little goat.
But would anyone be surprised than that one?
The little duckling.
No. It would just be more honest, you know?
More honest.
Yeah.
More honest advertising.
Matthew, you sound like you had something.
We're not going to do the Gun Pig. What do you call it again? Gun Pig?
Yeah.
It's Pew Pew Pig.
Pew Pew Pig. Oh my goodness, we're playing some Pew Pew Pig.
Pew Pew Pig.
That's amazing.
Say that real fast. Try to do that one.
We're playing some Pew Pew Pig.
Pew Pew Pig.
That's amazing. Yes. We're gonna be doing some poo poo pig at some point. It'd be a ton of fun.
It sounds like Daniel saying poo poo pig.
we're gonna play some poo poo pig.
What are we, 12?
I don't know.
Daniel says that. I'm like, it sounds like he said poo.
We basically are. Let's move on to our next questions. I believe we've answered all of our listener questions this week, which is really sad that we only have 4. Yeah, I believe that's everything. That's it. That's all we got. So, I've got...
What do you guys know about lobsters?
I feel like I know a lot about lobsters. I don't know.
Go ahead. Name some lobster facts.
I mean, they have big claws. Pictures. They swim around like a crawdad.
How about types of lobsters?
Well, there's many types of lobsters. There's the ones that are big. These are small ones.
There's Larry the Lobster from SpongeBob.
There's like there's the red Larry ones. The
so, I don't know why. You guys are not going to... Like, you're going to think we don't accomplish anything at work. Between the flamingo jokes and now... For some reason, at work, we were talking about lobsters.
Okay.
And, we decided to look up types of lobsters.
Okay.
Oh. And I discovered this website called lobsterhelp.com.
Oh, yeah.
Your guide to everything lobster.
It's like a lobster counseling website.
Now, what do you think lobsterhelp.com does?
I still think it helps lobsters. That's my guess.
That is kind of what it sounds like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nope.
They've got me in a tank in the grocery store.
It helps you know how to cook your lobsters better.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was so, like, lobsterhelp.com. Check it out if you get a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. This makes me think, is he on Lobster Help right now?
Mm-hmm.
This is amazing.
No, I am. Ugh. I am. I'm looking at Lobster Help right now.
Why is it all pictures of their undercarriage? Underbelly, I mean.
Wait, what? Are we on the same? We might not be on the same Lobster Help.
No,
lobster
this is definitely Lobster Up with the big happy lobster.
Your guide to everything lobster.
Wait, there's a big red lobster kind of pinching the L?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Lobster Help. I'm going to go down to lobster history. I feel like, you know what? I am making a declaration right now.
Okay, Austin, declare.
That according to On the Horns, June is National Lobster History Month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can we please have Lobster Week on TV? It's like it's like Shark Week, but it's all lobster attacks. Most of it, though, is commercials with Larry the Lobster from SpongeBob. Mm-hmm.
And we break it up with some videos from South Africa where lobsters are breaching out of the water to catch seals.
Yeah. And what the heck? Really?
Is that a real fact?
No. No. A joke about Shark Week, how they show the sharks jump to the seals.
Yeah. And maybe there's like a little portion where like Mr. Krabs shows up from SpongeBob and he gets kicked out for being a heretic.
You know, in honor of Lobster History Month, I think next week I'm going to come up with a lobster history quiz and see how many you guys can get right.
That sounds fun. I'll totally do a lobster history quiz.
I know lots of them on lobsters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's because you're going to read everything on lobsterhelp.com.
Trust me, I won't. I have too much to do there, but I'm not going to waste my time looking at lobster facts.
I plead the fifth.
Okay. Look.
Did you plead the fifth?
Yeah. No, we discovered a type of lobster called an elegant squat lobster.
What does it do? Elegantly squat?
Elegantly squat. Look up a picture of an elegant squat lobster.
Once again, our poor listeners are listening to us look up things on Google.
Elegant squat lobster.
Elegant. I can't even spell. Squat.
Whoa.
Lobster.
That's intense.
Whoa, it just looks like a big tick.
It really does look like a tick.
It does. But that, my friends, is an elegant squat lobster.
That is one mean lobster.
I would not go back and rechange that name. I think that name is there to stay.
Yeah, it's spot on. It's elegant and looks like it's squatting.
The elegant squat lobster.
It does not look like a lobster.
It's probably got some of the best toned abs out of any lobster. Mm-hmm. Good quads. I mean, he probably has like 8 quads because he's got all those legs squatting.
So wait, if he has 8 quads, what's the word for 32 of something?
I have no idea. 32, probably.
Anyways, that's all I have about lobsters. I just thought I would bring up the fact that there is a website called lobsterhelp.com.
Fantastic. And if you guys do need any help, you know who I actually really think could use some help with cooking his lobsters? Kevin MacLeod.
Mm-hmm.
I really do think Kevin MacLeod could use a lot of help.
Kevin, I don't know about his lobster cooking skills. They're a little suspect. So, Kevin, you should check out lobsterhelp.com.
Yeah. Kevin MacLeod is the guy who makes all the music for this podcast. We steal it from him, and we tell him that he's great, and he lets us use it. So, that's basically it. You can check him out at incompetech.com. I'm not going to spend any more time on Kevin. He gets enough showtime as it is. Let's move on to our next question. Although, side story, I was totally trying to make some carrots on the grill the other week. Like, you put them on the grill like hot dogs, mm-hmm. basically. I didn't know you could do that. I was trying to make dinner for my wife, which normally doesn't go very well. And so I've been trying to prove myself, you know, earn that trust where my wife can actually feel relieved when I say, honey, I'm going to cook dinner, you know, instead of a... More like, thank you, which that actually does happen. But point being is, normally she's always afraid I'm going to mess it up or I get too creative, so I put like 15 billion spices on something, and so it's not even recognizable after a while, you know, things like that. So anyways, I was trying to figure out, can you just throw carrots on the grill? And I could, and I found this great website that has been an amazing website for me to use to learn how to grill. And do you know what it's called? Girls Can Grill. It has been the best website to help me grill stuff. So now when I make dinner, I'm like, honey, it's going to be amazing because girls can grill. And I go... anyways, I thought I'd share a little side story just because I thought it was funny. Let's answer some questions for our Yahoo listeners, those who are in the deep web. Needing help from other people in the deep web. We're here to shine some light on your situation.
Mm-hmm.
This is from an anonymous person. It says, they ask, is it creepy for a guy to ask a girl on a date. Should the guy instead wait to be asked by her?
That is like
the
wow.
That's the opposite of what I thought. I've always thought the guy asks the girl.
Yeah,
like,
that's
the guy
kind
leads.
Of typically. Yeah, that's typically how it goes, isn't it?
That's how
I
mean,
thought.
Obviously,
yeah.
I am such an expert on these matters, but isn't that how it goes?
I don't know. See, my father-in-law just called a meeting between me and Cherish, so I never asked her out.
Uh-oh.
That's true. That was... He just kind of knew what was going on, and he's like, all right, you sit there, you sit there. Here's the deal. It's practically an arranged marriage.
Practically.
Yep.
Is it creepy for a guy to ask a girl on a date? No.
No.
No, it's not.
It's not creepy, man. Dude, lead. You gotta lead. The man's the leader here. What's going on? Not like in the, like, he, dude, you gotta grow up, man. Ask her out.
Okay, so should the guy instead wait for her to ask? Well, I would say if he cannot talk, then she's going to have to ask, but he can do sign language. So if he can't talk and he has no hands, then you should wait for her.
Sing a song. Do an interpretive dance that asks her to date. I don't know how you do that, but.
You could write a message in the dirt with your teeth.
Disgusting.
Right, what? Again, not an expert, but I don't think that's the best way to go.
Alright, what's the best way?
I don't know, but not that.
I would say, man, do anything, but whatever you do, don't just wait on her, because that's going to be awkward. What are you going to do, like, can we hang out, but not a date, and then you just kind of like wait for her to ask you? And whatever you do, don't text her. That's the dumbest way to ask. Don't send a GIF, whatever you call them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude.
I agree.
It ain't creepy. Ask her out. Get over it.
Yep.
Here's the thing. If it is creepy, she'll say no, and then it's over with, and you can, like, basically, you know, have no contact for the rest of your lives. Done deal.
Yeah. Perfect. I got another question for you. This comes from someone named Sum, so we could say it's Sum. One, I guess. This one is a little hard for me to ask, but I figured we could share our thoughts on this and try to give an honest answer. Someone asks, is a girl who's 5'4" and weighs 125 pounds considered chubby to you? ?
Okay, I have more questions than answers.
Okay, Austin, why don't you lead on this one, because I'm a little nervous.
Who the heck takes to the internet with this kind of a question?
I know.
Some does.
Some does, apparently. How about this? We're going to just read some of the ones that we got here. This one came from someone named Zara, who's level one, might I ask, on Yahoo Answers. Says, whoa, so skinny. I'm the same height and 140. I'm quite muscular and not fat at all. Wait, that makes no sense. It's like a brick. Depends on variations, muscle, bone structure, frame size, etc. How do you feel about it? This is so not helpful. Not in the least. How old are you? That makes a difference. If you're 90, that's not bad at all.
No, it's not bad.
You're 90, that's not bad. Good answer.
Honestly, yeah, I don't know how to answer. You're probably fine. I wouldn't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Nope, not worried.
It's probably all hair on your head. I don't know. You're good.
You're good.
You're fine.
Okay, Daniel, I've got... Oh, come on, stop doing that. I have got a doozy for you.
What's that?
Oh, what? Why isn't it there? Okay. Question is just, why is this? ?
Yeah.
I wish I could, and then description of the question is, I wish I could live like an indigenous, but it's hard because air conditioning and getting groceries is easy, but at the same time, I don't like society. I would love to live isolated, but with company. There's so much stupid contained in one question.
I have a really hard time knowing how to answer this one.
Yeah, because she basically just said, I want these things, but I don't want these things, but I also want these things.
What's her name? What's this person's name?
Whoa, what happened? Hold on. It doesn't say. It's anonymous.
Alright, Mr. or Mrs. Anonymous.
If it's a girl, just throw her chocolate. That's what she's asking. In a very roundabout way.
Very roundabout way, it's just chocolate. Mm-hmm. Or coffee, or both.
Chocolate and coffee.
I would say go give it a try. Go live out there. Why do you need company? Are you afraid?
See, here's the thing. I get. She's like, I want to be like an indigenous person, but I also don't want to give stuff up. So now what? Like, you have to choose one or the other. You don't just get to like say I'm leaving society, but not leaving society.
You can't live in the middle of nowhere, Alaska, and just have a Walmart waiting for you. You know,
that's true. Like that. That's true. Cannot do that.
We can't help you. You're gonna have to figure this out on your own. You know, go camping. Try it out for a while. See what you think. I don't know.
But have you ever had the time where you want to be around people, but you don't want to talk to people? I understand that fully.
Yeah, especially whenever I'm like calling them on Facebook and there's a mic. It's like the last thing I want to do is, holy big bug, what is that? Is that a murder hornet?
It's huge.
I'm getting my gun. We got to pause the podcast. I'm going to get a video of this so that everyone can see us kill this thing on camera and know that it was in the podcast. Austin, you stay there and just narrate as we talk. We're putting our headphones down.
Okay, I'm staying here.
We're going to kill this
thing. Can you guys not hear me? You won't be able to hear me?
Oh, it's a countdown. Oh, my goodness.
Okay,
cool. Oh, I don't think they can hear me.
This is scary. I'm really scared. This is scary, guys. I'm here with Matthew. We were in the middle of recording a podcast. Austin is still on, but there is a giant... It's got to be the murder hornet. We haven't even gotten our stimulus check yet for the murder hornet. Oh, gosh. It's coming after me.
Get him. Get him. Sting him.
No,
sting him in the face.
Get away.
It's huge.
It's huge. What is that thing? We got to kill him.
Oh, it sounds like... Sounds like they're really being men about it over there. I'm gonna go kill it. But yeah, it's huge. Get away!
Only in California.
I can hear like Austin yelling.
Does he have one too?
This has to be a known carrier of Corona. Oh, did you get it?
It's dead. Oh, I. Well, its head's gone.
Its head's gone?
Its head's gone.
I thought I saw something fly over here. Did
it? No, like clearly its head's gone. Austin.
We got it.
We decapitated it.
We got it.
Well, I'm glad that's over.
Okay, give me a second. I'm going to pick
Matthew.
This thing up.
Good kill. Let's see if we can find this thing. Paused it. Careful of the stinger. I think its head flew under the computer. I saw something fly whenever you hit it.
It's huge.
We're back.
So, Daniel.
We're back and there it is. There's the giant body stinger thing that could have killed us. Wow, that was close. That was scary. Glad we're okay.
Wow.
So, Daniel, would you not say it's about the size of a 9mm cartridge?
Yeah, it's about definitely, yeah. Maybe the bullet, 9mm bullet, not the full cartridge. Look
well,
that.
that's just the belt. But if you had the whole thing, it'd be
actually,
at least
the thing,
casing.
The whole bead would be about the size of a 9mm bullet. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we say 38 special
weight.
In length?
No.
That's actually like I was kind of hoping for larger. I'm a little disappointed now.
No, it's actually I think the biggest bee I've ever seen.
It was huge.
Yeah.
If we had
it can't be. There's no way it's the size you described, and it's not larger than the one that Teddy broke a light diffuser over.
No, it's definitely bigger than that one. Not kidding.
Well, that one was way bigger than a 9mm.
Look at a 9mm bullet right now.
The whole thing.
Daniel, I shot through 150 of them today. I'm telling you, that one that we saw, that Teddy busted a light diffuser over
well,
was
all I know
bigger.
Is this one was white and furry and angry. Huge.
You also were not in the double wide for Randy, were you?
No, I wasn't.
No, okay, our first year as students, there was a giant, one of those Chinese hornets got into the double wide, and we called him Randy, but it was like...
Nasty.
It was crazy.
So I got that all on video because I thought, why not, and I'm going to post it on the On the Horns page, just for fun. Yeah, that was scary. That was intense. That was really intense.
So
but we ran out of ammo, just blasting in here with all of our guns.
Yeah.
Where were we even whenever that thing came in here?
I don't even know.
I don't remember. Let's pick another question. We gotta land this plane here soon. We are 43 minutes in, and I would like to have this thing wrap up in a good time. When will social distancing end? This comes from an anonymous writer. They wrote also, it's incredibly frustrating that the mainstream media keeps pushing down our throats of a hashtag, quote-unquote, new normal. We can't live with social distancing forever. It's completely impossible in a functioning society. I want to live the life I did before the pandemic, and I'm desperate to do so. And my first response is, tell me about it, man. I'm married, and I since February, Cherish and I have been social distancing ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. Kidding me?
So
heck no.
Here's the solution. I just don't.
You just don't?
I just don't. I go wherever I want. I pretty much do whatever I want. I wear a mask sometimes to pacify people, but that's it.
Dude, Austin's his own man.
I am my own man.
Yeah.
Big brother ain't telling me what to do.
I don't know. Social distancing hasn't been that bad, you know? Like, there's aspects of it that's pretty nice. That person smells a little bit bad. They stay 6 feet away.
You know, I haven't had to brush my teeth in a month.
If that person does smell a little bad, but they don't stay 6 feet away, you don't have to be the bad guy. No. You don't have to be like, whoa, get away, you stink. You just got to be like, well, bro, social distancing. Mm-hmm. And then they'll be like, oh, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can we say there's been a greater pandemic around way before the corona, and that's BO and bad breath.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say stupidity, but...
BO, bad breath, stupidity, and just straight-up bad attitude. All of those, definitely 6 or more feet. We could almost put a 10-foot social distance from that. Yeah.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, so to answer your question, you, sir, will make it end today. My friend.
Only you can prevent social distancing.
Hey man, same person, anonymous.
Oh yeah, another the same anonymous person asked so many questions. Is it okay?
We just call him Annie. We just call him
Annie.
Yeah,
Annie.
Well, what if it's a dude?
Either way, it both works. Annual.
Annual.
It's like Daniel, but with no D. Is it okay to ask a girl to marry you after dating for 2 months? I think 2 months is appropriate. That's what he says.
If you known her for a long time, sure. Like, if you've known her for, like, a couple of years and you've started dating, maybe.
I mean, yeah, I guess I could see it. I don't think it would necessarily always be inappropriate.
Very contextual.
How long was it for you, Dan? How long were you guys dating before you were engaged?
Initially, I was going to ask her to marry me 6 months in.
It wound up being more like what?
10,
yeah.
No, I'd say I was going to ask her seven months in, and then it turned to 10 is what it was, I think. Because I was going to ask her at the beginning of May. I didn't ask her until middle of July of 2018.
Yeah, actually, by most standards, that's pretty quick.
It is pretty quick. Yeah.
I know quite a few people who have been together for like 5 years.
Yeah, she got down on one knee and.
And I mean, what could you do then? It's not like you could say no.
I do. Yeah.
Well, the real question is, if she asked to go on a date, then no. But if you asked to go on a date. And you were the one who started that, then yes, you can ask in 2 months.
Dude, absolutely. Let's move on. I think we answered that question pretty well.
All right, I got one I want to give us that's... Okay, this is a much more seriouser note.
Oh, goodness.
More seriouser.
Okay.
Okay, so this guy asks, and I think this is awesome. Like, I had never even thought of coming at this from this angle, but... this guy, Anonymous, who is very active on this website, asked, if Black Lives Matter, and this is just a theory, who do they matter to? Get my drift?
Oh, goodness. I didn't think we were going to get political on this podcast.
I'm not. I am not going to get political. But there's all this stuff going around of Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. I've even seen people saying No Lives Matter, that you come into this life meaningless, the whole thing is meaningless, you leave meaningless.
Oh, that's sad.
So, I know. Here's the thing is this guy, and I don't know what he's trying to play at here necessarily, but the point he brings up is that if life has value, where did the value come from? The assumption that black lives or all lives, that any lives matter, is based on the fact that they have been assigned value from something. And his question is, where did that value come from, or who assigned it?
I absolutely love this question.
Oh, it's so good, isn't it?
Are you going to start? Because I feel like you're like rearing and ready to go on this one.
I mean, obviously, I'm going to say that lives matter, color regardless, because God has assigned value to life. He's created man in his own image, and so, therefore, man's life has value to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it goes right back to, like you said, being image bearers. We're supposed to be the image bearers of God's goodness and glory and characters and attributes. And obviously that's different from believer to unbeliever. But yeah, no, that's a great answer. I think that's what people miss a lot of times in this whole political uproar. I'm not about to share my thoughts on all of these crazy things that are happening right now between the riots and the pandemic and all that stuff. But I think people miss so much because what they're fighting for is something that they still cannot define where their value comes from. Because I think the difficulty is they want to say, well, life gets value from where? Society.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how people define their ethics now, too, is they believe ethics should be assigned by the society's ruling on ethics.
Yeah. And this, I'm not sure if this is what the person who wrote this was playing at, but it brings up an entire line of argument that I had not even considered. But there is a lot of unbelievers who are out there crying Black Lives Matter and even crying All Lives Matter. And I would love to pose this question to them, to somebody who, an atheist, maybe a relativist, who is crying Black Lives Matter, say, well, why? Because they don't have a basis to say why lives matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you back them far enough into a corner with that question, they would have to say, well, because society because society says that they matter, or they would have to say, well, because I value, well, whatever. But if you're going to go with that, then what if I don't? What if I don't value lives? Then, you know, what does that mean? It doesn't matter. It's a really interesting line of argumentation that I had never even considered.
But when you go at it from that God assigns value to life, and he made us, and that's why we have value, then everyone matters, no matter who or where you're from.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the neat thing about value from that perspective is value is no longer put in the person, but put in the designer. I was actually thinking about this because in a couple weeks I'm going to be talking about the glory of God to some teenagers. And I'm like, how in the world can I even explain the glory of God to a teenager when I can barely explain it to myself? And I thought of this broken analogy. So just hear me on this one. I love playing guitar, and this is exactly what I'm getting at when we say that humans have value given to them by God, because their value is in them giving glory to God, that they can glorify Him. But if I had a guitar and I wrote this beautiful piece of music, not singing, please, because I don't like singing, but it's all instrumentation, right? And it invokes emotion and passion, and it stirs you and all these things. And at the end, everyone gets up and cheers and claps and whatever. Where's the glory going? It's going kind of two places, right? To the song, but primarily it would go to the person who wrote the song, right? Like, wow, that person, the way they played it and the instrumentation and the music and the key change and the, you know, all those cool little extra add-ons and elements, right? the glory would all go back to the person who made it, right? You would think, who did this? Who wrote this song? That's what we always do whenever we mm-hmm. find a song yeah. we like. We say, who wrote this song? You know, and I think that's what we're getting at is saying that when God creates them, creates mankind, the beauty of it is not always in the creature. It's in the person who created such a masterful creature. And then we get to see the greater glory that's not in man, but in God, which is just kind of interesting. Does that analogy make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that. That is good.
But
yeah. I just think this is so interesting, and I wish it was more prevalent. I wish somebody, like on a national level, I wish somebody, there was somebody who was talking about this with a little more of a platform than, obviously, than we have. But just think about it. How prevalent relativism is. Say, you know, there is no established truth. Your truth and my truth might be different. But at the same time, how prevalent is it to say Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter, which is, of course, an absolute statement. And I don't think that people who would necessarily hold the relativism, I don't think they understand what they're doing. I don't think they're understanding that they are defeating, they're either defeating their own Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter statement, or they're defeating their own statement of relativism.
Hmm. Yeah. You gotta figure out where the value comes from. And I think that's why Christians should be so active against, and let me be careful. Christians should be actively against racism. Now, the context in which I do that I think is really important. I'm not talking about what context right now of how they should address it. I am saying Christians should be active in it because they believe every human being, number one, that we're called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in any act of racism, that's not sharing the gospel. But I think Christians should be active against it. Through what context or what medium, I think Christians should be really discerning on that, because mm-hmm. there's yep. a lot of broken ways that you can try to stop racism that are not going to do it. but
Right. And I don't even like to say the word, like, I don't even like the word racism or race or whatever, because I don't really think I believe in multiple races. I think it's the human race.
Right.
That's the race, you know?
Yeah, if we can start there, that'd be great.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the method ticks me off a lot of times. A lot of people that are kind of activists or SJWs, whatever you want to make them out to be, might be fighting for a cause that is admirable and is worth fighting for. But the methods are just usually so wrong that it puts me off, and I don't like to pay attention to it.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, rioting and burning, whatever. What? I don't understand the mentality. What is it? What is it benefiting anybody to burn down a Wendy's, to burn down a Target in Minneapolis, to you name it? None of this makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Like I said, this is where I think people need to be discerning as to what methods they're going to use to push these issues, because I don't believe some of them to be right. All right, that was really good. I like that. Let's end on a couple other questions. Does that sound good? A couple quickies.
Yeah, sure.
A couple quickies here. We'll end on. what's the first thing you'd buy if you won the lottery?
One more lottery ticket.
I was going to say lottery ticket.
A boat!
What'd you say?
I said a boat.
I thought that's what you said.
I feel like we should discuss that story at a later time.
Later date? Okay.
Yes. Someday, the listeners, you'll get to hear a great
boat story. I feel like you need a little more time before the boat story is actually funny for you.
Yeah, before the boat story is funny. I don't know. I would probably end up... For any ranch people who are listening to this, you will find this funny. I would buy a house. A real one.
Wait. You mean what you live in now is not a house?
You mean you wouldn't buy another FEMA trailer?
I don't know. I've had my good year at the FEMA trailer. If I won the lottery, I would buy a house. I don't care what it'd be, as long as I could turn. If I could turn into another room, I'd be good. That's all I need.
You never know how much you miss turns.
If I could walk side by side with my wife down a hallway, that's all
that's
I need.
That's true. You can't do that. You do have to turn to get to the Tilt-A-Whirl in your house, however.
Yeah, you do.
If you have to go release the pine cones, there is some turning required for that.
Yeah. Anyways, that's what I would buy. Any other thoughts on what you'd buy if you won the lottery?
Boy, I don't even know. I don't think about it.
I would buy a fantastic Tilt-A-Whirl. Because that's one of the most important parts of the day.
I'm confused. Are we talking like actual like carnival ride Tilt-A-Whirl or toilet Tilt-A-Whirl?
Toilet.
I would buy a crossover. It's a toilet that's attached to a Tilt-A-Whirl.
for maximum movement.
You will drop those pine cones.
I'm trying to think what I would call this.
You'd pass a pine cone way better than you ever thought you could.
I'd probably call it the Tilt-A-John. Or the Tilt-A-Crapper. I like the Tilt-A-Crapper.
Oh, goodness. This is just derailing so fast.
Let's hope not. If you derailed in the Tilt-A-Whirl while I was going on the John, it would be messy.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know what I would buy. I don't know.
If I won the lottery, I would probably buy property.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is land.
Here's another question. Can a guy and a girl ever truly be just friends?
Why not? I mean, I don't know. You guys answer this first.
Sound great. Why not? Let's move on to the next one.
That's it? We're just going to go with why not? Okay.
Fantastic. Why not?
Why not? I've done it a ton. It's not that hard.
Is it wrong to have expectations in a relationship?
Actually, I'd say quite the opposite is true, and it would be wrong to not have expectations in a relationship.
Absolutely. If you don't have if you don't have expectations, could you even qualify it as a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's possible to have a relationship without expectations.
And maybe the question more so should be, should you voice them? And the answer is, yeah. You kidding me?
Yeah.
Like,
well, but every relationship, you cannot enter a relationship, any kind of relationship, without
friendship.
Some form of expectations.
Yeah, like friendships.
Even as a friend, you expect that you and that person will communicate in some way, shape, or form.
Exactly. I mean, like, Austin and I, the first year we met, there was this expectation that was very rigid in our friendship. And it was, Austin has food. I eat the food. That was...
I always expected him to eat the food.
Many expectations.
Austin had snacks. I snuck over and ate the snacks. And would later confess... in laughter.
Yeah, he was not very good at the sneaking part, because I'd be like, so, what did you do today? He'd be like, went over and ate your food!
I was overeating your fake Pringles called Stacks.
Stacks. What's your opinion on that? Stacks, Pringles, are they different?
They're 30 cents cheaper and not nearly as good, but if you're on a budget, get them.
I love that you have the price check ready to roll.
Listen, my wife and
Stacks.
I just bought Stacks like 2 weeks ago. Let me tell you this much. Buffalo wing flavor will make you puke, but if you eat enough of them, you'll like them after a while.
That sounds phenomenal.
That does not sound like a wise decision.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that Stacks are necessarily worse than Pringles, but they're definitely different. They're thicker. Have you noticed that Stacks are thicker than Pringles?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So if you like a thicker, more full-bodied chip, then Stacks might be for you.
You know, I just realized this is a great way to end the episode. I just realized that we could title this episode in such a way to probably go viral. Weaponized podcast, murder hornet attack. Black Lives Matter to who? And relationship expectations. Mm-hmm. You could, if we titled it like that, Pew Pew Pig, Black Lives Matter, and Murder Hornet Attack, we could literally have so many people listening to our podcast. Should we name it something like that? Or should we just...
Yes, but I think we should sneak Tilt-A-Whirls in there somewhere.
I don't know how I'm going to title this episode, but I feel like we should probably put in the Black Lives Matter thing, only because I feel like what we talked about was important, because it wasn't what people would probably expect.
It was not. Well, there's really, at least that I'm seeing, there's only two sides to the Black Lives Matter debate. There's Black Lives Matter, and then there's All Lives Matter. And then Black Lives Matter people say, yeah, but, we, you know, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't want to get into this.
Yeah. We're back on the titling issue. I think that the answer is we should probably answer it, title it in a way to get as many views as possible, right? Because that's what we need, is to get debt money. I'm
kidding. Yeah, right.
Getting so rich, especially from Kevin MacLeod.
Yeah, boy.
Giving us all that money. Right, Kevin? Hit us up. You know where we live. Not really. He's never met us.
He doesn't know where we live.
Well, I think that's all I've got. How about you guys? Anything? Any last thoughts?
Trying to think if I have another profound yet stupid statement.
We have a good question to end on. I've got one here. We'll end on a question. How does that sound?
Okay, yeah.
This will be our final question. This comes from an anonymous person. Is 30 considered old for a woman? And the answer is no, if you have time travel dating. To go way back to like our first episode ever.
That is episode numero uno. because that was the question about, was it her boyfriend keeps calling her old? That's what it was.
Yeah.
And she said, what should I do? And I said, dump him, because time travel's not an option.
Yeah, you need a time travel date.
If time travel was an option, that would probably be the best way to go. But otherwise, he's out of here.
Yeah. Hit the road, Jack. That's what you said.
And don't you come back. No more.
I don't think it depends on how old you are, too, for the question in and of itself. So if you're 90, 30 is pretty young.
That's a spring chicken.
Even if you're like 40, 30 is not bad.
Yeah, so it depends on your...
Hey, you know what I just thought about? My parents are sitting in the next room over, and I could probably get their perspective on this.
This would be really awkward to pull your parents in on it, but I feel like this is too good to do.
Hold on. We're gonna...
Oh, goodness. We got 3 minutes, Austin, until the internet goes. 3 minutes.
Good question. Is 30 considered old?
No. Someone is 15, baby.
Please tell me you guys heard that.
We heard part of it. I don't know if our listeners did.
So Dad says, just laughed and said, yeah, maybe to someone who's 15.
Yeah, I can see that. It's all about perspective and time travel, really.
Mom kind of gave me the stink eye and then said, 50's not even old, so.
Oh. Well, it's all about perspective. Anyways, no. Oh, goodness. Right. We're actually about to lose internet in like 2 minutes, so this is a great way to end. We just got Austin's parents on the podcast, so that's going to be another add-on to the title, is all of this plus Austin's parents join the show.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we're gonna try to crash land this plane right now, like I am, because this is probably one of the most awkward endings we've had.
That's it. End it. See you later. Bye.
All right, let's all go around in a circle and say goodbye really cheesily. Hi, this is Daniel, and I'm saying goodbye on the podcast now. Goodbye. Someone else has to go now.
Oh, cheesily.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Austin.
Yeah, I don't even know how to say goodbye cheesily, so yeah.
Go see for like a Swiss.
Say like goodbye like cheese.
Parmesan, see you later.